I appreciate your prayers this morning. Always need them. Need them more than usual this morning because I got an unusual message. I guess you'd call it a doctrine. Been on my mind a long time. Thought of mostly for my own good, things that had interested me. It seemed like the Lord gave it to me this morning for talk about a little bit. Talk about, titled this one, Why Bad Things Happen. That's a great mystery of the human race, in a way. I read not too long ago about a man who was a scientist. And he kind of had a candid moment, speaking his heart, I guess. And he said, when he was young, he was a Christian. We should have gave that up, because he saw what happened to helpless things. And he just decided there couldn't be a God. Allow this much pain and suffering in the world. So then he started believing in evolution. You ever heard of Alfred Lord Tennyson? Anybody? Alfred Lord Tennyson was a British poet, lived a couple hundred years or so ago. And he wrote about, I was actually writing about old King Arthur's court. But he put it this way, for why is all around us here as if some lesser God had made the world, but had not force to shape it as he would? I mean, if God is God, why couldn't he do something to keep there being so much things go wrong, so much trouble, heartache, pain, suffering? That was his idea about it. It must have been a lesser God. He could create it, but he wasn't strong enough to take care of it. That was his idea. I know you don't agree with that, but I'm using it to explain what I'm trying to talk about this morning. And it got quite a bit of scripture here, and it's a pretty important one, so I'll be tedious with you. So please listen through this passage. It's from Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote it. Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. I suppose he, more than any other in the Old Testament, talked about the hardship that life can be. Job's got quite a bit in it, too, but Jeremiah's unique. Lamentations, well, you know what lament is. It means to express your sorrow. And here's his testimony. Jeremiah was a prophet. Called to God. He had the Spirit of God moving in him. But he had to suffer. He was the one that made the king mad at him. And they threw him in a well. He sank down in the mud up to his armpits. And they were going to leave him in there. But the Lord wasn't through with him yet. So after a while he made the king send some people over. And they threw rope down there and fished him out. He had experiences like that all along his journey. He would prophesy in the name of the Lord. He made a yoke of wood and put it on his neck and told the Israelites, people he was prophesying to, if you accept what the Lord's doing, he will, the yoke will be light that he's about to put you under. And there was another prophet there named Hananiah, and he took the yoke off his neck and broke it and said, Jeremiah's fooling you. Don't listen to what he says. Etc. So he had a lot of those kind of things, and this is what he said. It isn't only important to him, because if you live for the Lord very many years, you have some of these places too. He said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. I want to say just a little about this verse, my flesh and my skin hath he made old. Our world is a long ways from the way it was in the dawn of creation. We're given to understand in the scriptures that there was no death in the garden. And Adam and Eve changed all that. They were thrust from the garden. There was an angel set in front of the entry with a flaming sword that turned every way, bar their access to the tree of life. And that was the first stage in changing this world from its pristine glory to something like what we have today. And the second major step happened, apparently, at the time of the flood. Because before that, people lived to be 700 or 800 years old, according to the scriptures. You ever thought about that? The way this world is, I don't know if I'd want to live to be 700 years old in it. But think what was going on in this country 700 years ago or 800 years ago. It wasn't much like it is now. At any rate, something happened with the flood. And the scripture said, after that, in David's writings, that a man's years would be 70. If by reason of strength, a little longer. Most of us have got a little more strength than people used to have. People's life expectancy is a little longer. We're bigger than people used to be. Time of the Civil War, an average man was about 5'6". And most of us are up around 5'11 or 6 feet now, so forth. At any rate, it's all changed. Hebrews wrote about the world toward the end of time. It said it would grow old like a garment, and he'd take it away. And I observed that along with all the things that happened since Adam, since Noah, the world's growing old now, folks. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm really not convinced about global warming. But the world's growing old. It really is. There's population of the world today is greater than it has been in all the history of the world up to this time. All the ages put together, there's more people alive today than there ever were in all the time of the past, for instance. There aren't many places left to explore. Scripture said learning had increased toward the end. It's certainly done that, hasn't it? Fantastically. At any rate, one of the things that happened as a consequence of what took place back there in the garden and then again with Noah, everybody's flesh and skin grow old. They just do. Why, Avon and people like that have made a fortune developing things that are supposed to keep your skin from getting old. And do they work? In the end, you get old anyway, don't you? And it seemed to me like the folks who use them the most, and when the effect of that wears off, it leaves them a whole lot worse than if they just left it alone. It's, at any rate, he has broken my bones. How do you break a bone? Well, you hit it on something stronger than the bone is. And what made the something stronger than the bone is? In a sense, you can say God did it all, can't you? That's what Jeremiah is saying. He has done these things, builded against me, compassed me. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. Bent his bow, set me as a mark for the arrow, caused his arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He broke my teeth with gravel stones, covered me with ashes, removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. That's sinking pretty low, isn't it? Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Well, I think that's the purpose of the whole thing. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. To crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Those are powerful scriptures. They will do to follow for a lifetime. It isn't possible to live in this world without some suffering. Suffering can bring you to the place that you feel like your hope is cut off from the Lord. I'm going to refer to Brother Sammons a moment. When he was in the battle for his wife's life, he's a man of God. He's led by the Spirit of God. He got to the place that he couldn't pray anymore. And I understand that now, because Brother Sammons accepted what was happening to his wife as being from the hand of God. And he came to the Lord. He was pressing into the presence of where the pain was coming from. And it got so he couldn't stand to do it anymore. You know, there is a place like that. And when people get in that place, the scripture said, strengthen the feeble knees and lift up the hands that hang down. We can pray for one another when we get there. Brother Sammons survived that battle. The Lord carried him through it. And he's made his eternal destiny. And he'll do that for you and me too. But we need one another in those kind of places. And then as you heard me say, as the scripture here has said, going through these kinds of things, serving the Lord, results in a blessing. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Why does the Lord do things like that? One writer put it this way, this one simple sentence: the world suffers because it deserves to suffer as a result of sin. Have you ever talked to somebody who has a different viewpoint than you do? I guess we all have. At one time or another, somebody looks at life differently. One dear old brother, I think of him often and this kind of thing, he had a different viewpoint on life than I did. I'd have been better off with his viewpoint. And I tried to have it, but some things painful experience teaches you like nothing else can. I thought that he ought to use his money a different way. I didn't ever say anything to him, but he knew that. And one day he sat me down and he said, I can remember a time when all I had to eat was cabbage, 3 times a day. He said, as long as I have my land, I'll never be hungry again. He came through the Depression and he had a different viewpoint on it than I do. God has a different viewpoint on sin than we do. And what has gone on in the world about us since Adam and Eve in the garden shows what his viewpoint on it is. And I want to ask you to consider a moment the dramatic change that took place in everything when death came into the world. Now I got some more to read, and this is in Romans that deals with that sort of thing. Paul speaking in the 8th chapter, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. For the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We typically think of the change in the garden as Adam and Eve having a change in their souls and also being subject to death. But those who studied those things more than I, and I don't want to take the time to try to prove it to you this morning, maintain that before this, there was no death. Nothing. Well, there are animals in the world that are created to cause death. Their whole function of their system is to be a predator. Wolves, lions, leopards. Never eat grass. Never eat apples. All they eat is meat. Claws, teeth, hearing, smell, everything about them focuses on being able to kill something to live. But evidently, I propose to you that there was a time when that was not so. I don't know how they were different. I can't imagine. And have you ever wondered why there are ticks and chiggers and mosquitoes and things of that sort? Rats. There are people who champion just about everything. Snail darters, spotted owls. Rats don't have a hero. And I read one report one time that scientists have found that nearly every other animal there is has some function in nature, but rats are just destructive. They spread diseases. They spoil food. They are mean. They'll kill cats. And they'll bite sleeping people. Rats. Why are all these things in the world? There are vines growing on my trees at home. I wonder how they do what they do. The base of the vine might be 6 feet or 7 feet from the tree. But it'll wrap itself. How do they get over the tree? But it'll wrap itself around that tree and go clear to the top of it and kill the tree. And you see that kind of thing in nature all around us all the time. The scientist was right when he talked about the suffering that is in the natural world. Because a wolf killing a moose has no concern for the pain that the moose is feeling. He'll kill it in the most cruel manner that there is. Thinks only of what tastes good to him. Well, this scripture that I read to you said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And my understanding is that that's talking about the whole world. Sin came, it didn't only hurt people. It hurt everything. And this is a different viewpoint than God has on it. We can excuse one another for failure. It's easy for us sometimes to overlook it, especially if it's in our children. Oh, that's just Johnny. He'll sow his wild oats and he'll grow out of it. It wasn't light to God. What happened in the garden changed the whole world. It almost made this place unfit for humans to live in a lot of ways. That's what this scripture is talking about. I reckon that the suffering to this present time, he said, for the earnest expectation of the creature, which means all the things that God created, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what a praying mantis is? You ever seen one? They got those legs that fold up. That's why they're called that. I watched one time grab a cricket and eat the cricket. And he started with his head. And the poor little insect is still alive. The praying mantis has no concern for the cricket. Well, they struggle. I don't know how developed a cricket's body is, how much nerves they've got, how much they're able to feel pain. But it's obvious to me he didn't like it. He was trying to get away. That's what this scripture is talking about. And the whole creation groans under what came on it. The groan of the cricket, the groan of the praying mantis, if you want to call it that. The suffering of having to live in a place where a man can walk by and put his foot on you and squash you out of existence. That's not a happy way to be. The world is a fierce place for animals, for trees. For fish, it's a fierce place. Fish has only got two things on his mind. Can I eat it or is it going to eat me? And that's the whole thing. He spent his whole life trying to find something to eat and get away from whatever might be coming after him. That's the way the world is. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Paul, the Bible, I should say, the Lord, has a very different explanation for why all of this is true than Alfred Lord Tennyson. You have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look, one of our Christmas songs says, far as the curse is known, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And then it says the gospel goes as far as the curse is known. How far is the curse known? Well, we've got everything on this planet. I don't know whether it had any effect on Mars or whatever else is out there, but it got everything on this planet, didn't it? Salvation is the answer to all of this. The Lord told Adam, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And when he sent his son Jesus, Jesus demonstrated power over death, but he did not relieve us from that. And one of the things that we all have to accept about life is that our skin's growing to grow old, and we're going to live here only 70 years or so. No matter how we live for the Lord or what we do, we've got a limit on how long we can stay here. But he gave us something. He gave us a precious gift. As many have received the spirit of bondage again to fear, they have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. On the day of Pentecost, the folks spoke with new tongues. And some folks make that to be, well, a special language that only the Lord understands. And it is. And here it is. Abba, Father. Jesus used that term too. It's a Greek term. It means daddy, to put it in so many words. Changed. The wrath of God caused this whole thing to happen. And we ought to fear the wrath of God, folks. We ought to fear eternity. We ought to fear what it would mean if all this suffering came about that has been since Adam and Eve did what they did. If all of this came about because of sin, what would eternity be like with the wrath of God upon our souls? It's sorrow and misery beyond explanation. The Lord means what he says. There's no advertising in this. When he says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, he means exactly that. We ought to dread that. My happy message to you this morning is that there is a way out of it. Thank the Lord. There is a salvation. Jesus Christ came to do something for us that makes us an opportunity to groan with this creation in anticipation of a place where there's no sorrow and no death and no pain forever. And it teaches us here a new language. Because we're not under bondage, we're brought into the family. Every family has its own language, its own rules, and rules in our home. I remember Mother taught us one. Roberta and I used this all our lives. Mother'd come in, tell us to go to sleep. We're in the bed. She'd tell us to go to sleep. She knew her children. Takes a little while for children to settle down. She didn't just say, if you don't go to sleep right now, I'm going to give you a beating. She'd say, children, now you got 20 minutes. And she'd go in and set the timer on the dryer. And by the time the timer would ding, we'd always be asleep. And that was her rule. It just quiet us down. So now you be quiet. And when the timer dings, there's no more talking. That was her rule. We didn't need anybody to explain it to us after the second or third time. We just talked to each other about the ding. Because that's in our home. We're in daddy's home, folks. We're in daddy's home. There's another language in this home. And those who are in this family find it natural to obey the laws of this family. The world doesn't understand it. If I talk to my sister about the ding, they don't have any idea what I'm talking about because they're not in the family. Well, you got to get salvation to get in this family. And when you do, you get a new language with it. You start talking about heavenly things that the world doesn't understand. So he says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So if you live in this world without the Lord, you're going to suffer anyway. It's the way it is. And everything down here suffers in one way or another. But if you live for the Lord, well, Christ learned obedience through things that he suffered. I don't know how to compare my suffering with his. He feels what we feel. You remember the story one time of him, there's a man brought to him who was blind, and the Lord spit on the ground and made clay and put it on his eyes. And the man was able to see. But the scriptures said before that he sighed deeply within himself. He was the answer to the man's blindness. But there are a lot worse afflictions people can have than blindness. There are terrible diseases in this world. And the Lord felt the weight of them all, as no human has ever been able to do. We couldn't bear up under it. That's why he sighed like he did so deeply within himself. He feels what we're in now. He's given us the earnest of his spirit. It is enough to enable us to go through what old brother Jeremiah did with victory. It isn't fun. It isn't easy. But it's a consequence of sin. Living with joy above it is part of the plan of salvation. Is what he came to do in us. Since it has been brought into the world, I don't think all of this was necessary, but since Adam and Eve did what they did, we've got this to face, then we have this as the only way there is out. So let's face it, folks. Let's pray down our grace and victory. Let's live above this pleasant world that is about us. The Lord promised to go with us. The Lord has a way to make. He has guaranteed us that never let us be tempted above that we're able to bear, but he will, with a temptation, make a way of escape. Guaranteed it. Promised us. I don't know how to put that in words, but I've been in some of those places a little bit. The classic example. Persecutors caught one of the saints. Going to burn him up. Let his friends visit him in the jail before they did it. Said, well, today you, tomorrow us. When you're out there and the brush is piled up around you and set it on fire, if the grace of God is still able to keep you, will you find a way to tell us? Clap your hands. So they took him out there and they burned him for a while and he screamed for a while. And the writer said, when they burned him till there was nothing left, it looked like just bones, old bony fingers come sticking out of the fire and started clapping together. He still had the victory. God's got a way to cool the flame, folks. God created the nerves in this body, and he knows how to stop the pain through them if he wants to. He knows how to make us able to bear whatever comes our way. Sure, we've got some suffering, and everything around us has got some suffering. We only got two choices. We can go right with it and get nothing for it. Have the misery of it here and lose our souls and have far worse there. Or we can find this eternal salvation. We can pray through our battles. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is able, though we groan for a change. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will keep us to have a whole different language than they have, than the world has, and we'll be able to say, isn't this strange language to the world? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, Alfred Lord Tennyson, you missed it. It's a bigger picture than you saw. Would have been better for you if you could have seen it. Go through this. Go through it. Because there's something on the other side of it. And when we get over there, the same who one time created a world where there is no death has again the power to give us a place where all tears are wiped from our eyes, where they have no need of the sun, where the scripture teaches that there's nothing there but love and peace, where folks rejoice around the throne of God, where they cry continually. He wanted this first one holy. That one is holy, holy, holy. It's a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the promise. That's the answer. Suffer a little while here. Have the Lord go with us in our suffering to make it easy and bless us. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. He is the Lord of another world. And when we receive inheritance in him, we become heirs of eternal life. That's the strongest language I think that any human being could say, to be an heir of eternal life. For it to be over, for all that we know that's got all the death and misery and sorrow in it, for it to be over, and never have it again. And when I think of that, I cannot cease from thinking the other way. What it would be like to come to the final moment and realize I missed it. And there's never going to be a chance to do anything about it again. If I thought it was bad here, what it would be there. I just can't afford to take that chance for anything that's in this world. Before me, before you, lie the footsteps of many a solid saint of God that has walked this way and won the prize. And folks, we can do it too. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.